2025, we are here in April of this year, and God has allowed each one of us individually to be alive here at this time. And He's allowed this church to be in existence by His leadership and by His grace for over 50 years now in this community. All around us are tens of thousands of people. We have the unique opportunity as a church to not just minister to a few, but because God has allowed us to be in the metropolitan area, we have community after community that's right around us with precious people that Jesus paid a dear price for them to know Him and to live with Him for eternity. Every one of us has a very special destiny. We all have a divine plan for our lives. And God has a divine plan for every local church. The local churches are not just an entity of themselves. They are made up of individual believers, each one that God is working in and wants to work powerfully through. And all of that combined together is the assembly of God's people called the church. Ecclesia means called out ones. And as we covenant together here as Falls Baptist Church to accomplish the work that God has given to us, it's a very serious matter when you think about what His plan really is. Over the years, I have been absolutely stirred as to the seriousness of so many of God's people here that have done wonderful things through the power of God. And we're going to be looking at one of the key ministries that God's given us over the years, and we're wanting to break through into another phase of that ministry in these days. One of the famous quotes that we hear often is from John Wesley. He said, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world." That wasn't just a nice idea. He shook the world. What God did in that revival in England shook the entire British Empire and literally kept it from the demise of the work of God that occurred in France and other places. And we as Americans were deeply affected by the power of God that came upon Great Britain at that time. 100 men who will be devoted to God. August 17th, 1727, Count Zinzendorf, a godly man, was giving special instruction. Was this to a bunch of wealthy people? Was this to a great influential church? No. He had given himself to teach a class of 9 girls between the ages of 10 and 13. He told his wife that even though they gave outward attention, of course he was somewhat of an imposing character as a count, there was no sense of spiritual life among them. But he determined that God would bring life to that group. On July the 16th, he poured out his heart in effective prayer, and he had great anguish of soul. He committed himself to the small group that God had given to him. And 10 days later, as he continued to pray, the power of God came. And then from August 17 to 27, there was such an outpouring of the Spirit of God that not only all the girls came to know the Lord, many young men did too, and the entire community of Herhut came under the Spirit's influence. And we all know of the mighty work of God that God did as they met at the Lord's table, and revival broke out, and as a result, the vast majority of them took the gospel around the world. Small group ministry, just a few people can change the world. Ushers, if you'll come, we have our outline for you for today. And today we're going to give you the biblical perspective here from our hearts, and then look at the way that we're going to endeavor to reach the vision that God has given to us. So everyone can get one of these, and we waited to give them to you. We would like you to keep these as a just a guide for you and a bit of an understanding of the layout as we endeavor to prepare every individual believer who has a tremendous part in the work of God, to prepare everyone here to be as effective as possible and to be coordinated together. You see there the statement in the book of Acts and throughout the epistles, local churches actively obeying the Great Commission, the disciples multiplied, and God's work advanced throughout the world. By the way, that was in one generation. Our church, right here in 2025, will experience vibrant advance in the months ahead as we obtain God's vision, lay a hold of His pathway, and take immediate steps of obedience to make and multiply disciples. Over the years, you have heard many messages from myself and many others that have talked about the possibilities of what happens when the mighty Spirit of God works, what God did in the book of Acts, what God has done throughout history. But you know, we can know all about how God can work. We can believe it in our hearts, knowing that the Word of God shows it and testifies and teaches it. But there has to be, on the part of each individual believer, a willingness to yield and to work together with other believers to plan so that we can see the fullness of God. You see, what happens is, as the Church of the Living God coordinates its efforts, and God's people who are gifted, and we'll be looking at that over these next weeks, that are gifted by the Spirit of God, as they yield to God's working, and as they understand the potential of what can be done, folks, what occurred in the book of Acts can occur in 2025. And I know most of you believe that. But my challenge to you today is, will we actually take the steps to do it? God has been so good to us over the last 33 years to lay out a very biblical plan. A whole small group ministry that's not just adults, though we think of it with adults, but also with our teens, with our children, of all the different ages. And God, right from the beginning, as we took an entire year to lay out the very heartbeat that I'm going to be laying out today, God transformed this church. And we went from just 30-some people that were working in the ministry to 225 within a year. And lives were changed, families were changed. And I'm so thankful that 33 years later, I can say, praise the Lord, it's still going on. I mean, it's because it's a biblical method. It isn't some cute little organizational idea. This is just basic multiplication ministry. You see, our fellowships in many ways are like little churches. And even the Bible studies, they're opportunities for church to truly function as God intended it to function. Church needs the large gatherings, such as our services, but real church doesn't happen fully within a large service. It functions people working with people, where the dynamic of the Spirit of God through their gifting, coordinated as they yield to what God is doing, is able to have an impact on every person, and anyone who's open, their lives can be transformed. And that's what multiplies. Turn with me, please, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Our first point today is our vision. And that is really what I'm going to be looking at here for the first major part of this morning, and then we're going to apply it here today and answer some of your questions as we lay out what will be in the future. Acts chapter 11. Now, God had been working, and God had done a mighty work in Jerusalem, and that was an amazing thing, but God thrust out workers. They reached Judea, Samaria, up into Galilee, and then up into Antioch. And there's so much that could be said, but let's just take where the Scripture begins, in verse 19 on this particular passage that I want to look at. Now, they that which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Let me take just a moment here of context. Here were these folks going and going under the leadership of the Spirit of God. By the way, these were not quote-unquote professional preachers. These were people from all walks of life. But they caught a hold of the fact that they were part of the plan for that part of church history, that God was going to use them to plow new ground. But they had been mainly going to Jewish people. Now, God had opened the door to the Gentiles and made it very vividly real when the household of Cornelius was reached there at Caesarea by the sea. And that was all discussed throughout the book of Acts here. But then God broke through. And in Antioch, which was the third most powerful city in all the Roman Empire, Gentiles were now being reached. Praise the Lord. Most of us here are Gentiles. And isn't that amazing? This city was even more wicked than Rome. I don't even want to. I've read several descriptions here in preparation for this message. I don't even want to give you the descriptions. Don't even want that in your mind. It was just absolutely horrible. In fact, Antioch was one city that was often just spoken of as an illustration of very horrendous licentiousness. But it was in this city, to the Gentiles, that God took the faith of these men. And look with me now at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That major city that was bigger than most of our cities, not the millions, but the hundreds of thousands cities, was being affected by the gospel. And so our first point there with our vision is a vision that we've had obviously from the very day that this church opened, but one that needs to increase in passion, and that is that our community is reached by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say, folks, God does not want Menominee Falls to go to hell. That is not His will. God does not want us just to do a nice little ministry, but not have such a walk with God as individuals and as a church that at least the gospel it doesn't want us to just do our work and not have people know that the gospel is there or have the fear of God come upon them. And of course, Menominee Falls is not the only community that is within our responsibility all around us. What a wonderful position God has placed us in. But I want you to notice here that the community is reached by the power of the Holy Spirit. Looking again at verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them. Folks, when God's hand is upon you, things happen. We're not talking about a great human endeavor. We're not talking about just being excited about some kind of cause, like a political cause where you go out and canvass. We're talking about believing that God so loved the Menominee Falls that He gave His only begotten Son. That every person is precious in the sight of God. And we as the church of the living God have been given the wonderful, glorious opportunity of being His instrument to be His hand in reaching this community. Now, let me just say, folks, as we look at small group ministry, thank God for any major moves where folks in large numbers come to know Christ. But what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks is how individual believers stay fully obedient and living in a walk with God so that as they coordinate with their small group and the hand of God is upon that group, people are reached, and then people are reached. R.G. Lee speaks about the fact that Andrew brought Simon Peter, just one, But he says, that one was many, for under God, Simon brought 3,000 in one day. Joel Stratton, a waiter in a restaurant, brought John Gove to Christ, just one, but he brought many to Christ. Ezra Kimball, a Sunday school teacher, brought Moody to Christ, just one, but that one was many, for Moody rocked two countenances for God. You see, we often think, well, I don't have the ability to be part of that massive kind of movement. God never called any of us to do that. No, he called the local church to function together, and each of us reaching one, working with them, and then seeing God continue out. We have no idea what will happen with the people that we reach. You see, if the hand of God is on our lives and the hand of God is on our small groups, folks, we have way more than enough people to shake this community. It isn't some big crusade. It isn't some big unusual move. Now, we are praying, by the way, for God to do something major. But I'm telling you, every move of God from Jerusalem on and all that occurred in the first century and all that has occurred throughout history have been faithful local churches where the units within that church were biblical, spirit-empowered, and doing what God enabled them to do. It was a work of God, and that spread. And God did things far more amazing than even a crusade. Let me ask you, was Pentecost bigger, or was the move under these men and Paul and Barnabas and Silas and these others, which was a bigger move? Well, it was the multiplication of the work of God. Of course, it started. You know, I'm all for a big meeting when people will be reached. But it is in the trenches 52 weeks a year. You see, what happens is we begin to get burdened. We begin to pray. And we begin to see ourselves different. They were called Christians first in Antioch. Ironside talks about the fact that many years ago he studied Cantonese. And one of the, and in Cantonese, the word for Christian was, I'm not saying it right, Yasu Yan or something like that, but Yasu was the word for Jesus. Yan meant man. In other words, Christians were Jesus people. And so he said, I started calling myself a Jesus man. You see, folks, if we get rid of some of the words that have lost their meaning in our minds and realize we're Jesus people, we are identified with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who died for us. And then, if you'll see, with me in verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that they should go as far as Antioch. By the way, that was only a few people up in Antioch that were just going at it and going at it and going at it faithfully, 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 and a bunch of people got saved because God's hand was upon them. And so the church, of course, was still struggling with the idea of the Gentiles, and so they sent the right person, Barnabas. They sent Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch because they knew he would have a balanced perspective, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Secondly here, discipleship developed to effectively multiply disciples. I had the privilege today of our first Starting Point class. And in that first class, we hear testimonies. And at least three, if I remember, those of you that were in it know what I'm talking about, at least three made this comment. I came to know the Lord years ago, but I was never discipled. And I went through some hard times until finally God worked in my heart. Now, folks, that ought to just grip us. It's not just giving the gospel. The Great Commission, the very word means to disciple. When it talks about going. And so you find here, what did Barnabas do? In a couple of places here, but you see in the middle of verse 23, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. He immediately began discipling. Small group ministry, when God's people are spirit empowered, when that group is planning together, coordinating to reach the folks that they can reach. And it's an ongoing 52-week a year as they are encouraging one another. And then folks get saved. Then immediately discipleship begins, pouring our lives into other people. If we had testimonies right now, many of you would say the same thing. I only wish I had been discipled right away. You see, all Christians are ordained to bear fruit. And let me say, soul winning is absolutely thrilling. Nothing like seeing somebody saved. But equally thrilling is to see somebody take steps of faith. To see somebody begin to walk with God, to wake up to what truth is, to see their lives change, to see their families change. There is nothing like it. And that's what Barnabas was working, so they knew how to disciple, and that's how the multiplication occurred. See, those Christians that had come up and were reaching Antioch had been trained down in Jerusalem. And again, folks, I want to just say, we're not looking for a big event. If we will get excited about the fact that we are on mission for the King of Kings week after week, and we realize that this plan, if we will pray and seek the Lord and give ourselves to it, will reach people that will reach people. It's not some nice formula or idea. It's reality. It's God's plan. That's how the world has been reached. And then you'll see Bible studies are small groups experiencing the presence of God. Oh, how we long to have God's presence in every service. We spend a lot of time praying that God will meet with us, and he's so good to do so. But my prayer and prayer of the revival prayer meeting and other prayer meetings is always, Lord, meet with the Bible studies. You know, by the time we meet in here on a Sunday morning, we should have already been stirred deeply by the Word of God, by the presence of God in other people. Listen, all it takes is one person with the glow of God upon their face, and it changes everything. You see, when Jesus comes into the equation, things always change. And the power of God comes. Folks, listen, real Christianity, and it's in so many ways is, but Christianity... Real Christianity should be going on week after week here as God's people meet with each other, open their hearts, are walking with God, and that's where lives are transformed and then many other people are reached. As I said, this is more than enough people to see God do a great work. If you'll look with me at verse 23, the last part there. What did he exhort them? That they would cleave unto the Lord. You know, there should be such a love for Jesus, such a reality of his presence, such a walk with him by several members of each Bible study, each small group, each leader of a children's group, that people cannot get away from the reality of Jesus. That interaction, the caring for one another, the praying for one another, dealing with the issues of life. And we've often heard, I just quoted it a couple of weeks ago, Gypsy Smith's famous answer to how to start a revival. He said, just go home, lock yourself in your room, kneel down in the middle of the floor, draw a chalk mark all around yourself, and ask God to start the revival instead inside that chalk mark. And when he has answered your prayer, the revival will be on. Now, let me just tell you, one Bible study that gets going with genuine revival would change the church. Imagine if you got 50 Bible studies meeting with Jesus. Now, folks, what I'm talking about, this is not an isolated idea. This is basic, genuine Christianity. And every one of us want it. But we're going to be looking at how to be purposeful in seeing that happen. And that was certainly the life of Barnabas. Look at verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. He came and made an enormous difference in that place. And of faith, he believed God. And much people were added unto the Lord. You see, when you have the presence of God, multiplication takes place. It just does. You know, if we could see, if you could look some kind of a satellite type image and look down, as you can see on a GPS or whatever, and see the different houses in our area. And the ones that are searching, you would see lights on far more than you know. They're just waiting for something. And then we long to see, our vision is that our ministry is empowered by the ongoing grace of God. Back to verse 23. Who, when he came, had seen the grace of God? What's the grace of God? It's what Jesus purchased for us. It is the free gift that we cannot earn, we cannot work up. It is the free gift of his divine enabling for us first to become a believer, to have his righteousness imputed to us, our sins forgiven, and an eternal life given to us. But the grace of God continues on. You see, we're not living the Christian life by our self-resolution or our abilities. We have the indwelling Spirit of God, as we've looked at over these last couple of months. And the grace of God is available, and he saw it, and he was glad. He saw God doing miracles in people's lives. Defeated Christians becoming victorious Christians. Shy Christians becoming open about their faith. Christians that don't know much about the Lord become Bible students. Families that were broken become mended. Emotional problems overcome. Folks, I'm telling you, you get involved in the Bible study and in a fellowship where God starts changing lives, you can't get discouraged when you start seeing that. And what was it? He was glad. You know, honestly, and I see that happen a lot, but you ought to come in here from Bible studies and just be really excited. You know, I'd like to tone you down if I'd have to. I mean, that'd be a lovely problem. And by the way, I love having Bible studies first, because really, you come in pretty alive. But I'd like to have you a little hyper. You know, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, God answered prayer this week. God's changed this person. You hear a testimony. Don't you think that's what God wants? God's on the move. Oh, what a blessing, the grace of God. And then finally, our vision is that leaders are trained so we can just keep multiplying. More groups, more people sent out, more things occur. If you look with me at verse 25, Barnabas saw the need there, and he knew he needed more leaders, and he departed to Tarsus for to seek Saul, who would become Paul the apostle. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Oh, listen, one of the keys to move forward is that we've got to be developing leaders. Now, let me just say something. Many of you, God's just waiting for you to become an influencer for him. Doesn't matter what your personality is. Doesn't matter what your past is. If you'll walk with God and be willing to serve. Folks, it's a wonderful thing when, and I'm going to say this a number of times throughout these next weeks, it's a wonderful thing when you come to a point in which you change from looking forward to attending church to what you get, and I hope you get a lot, to be thinking about coming to church to what you're supposed to give. The burden for those that God has given to you, those that you're associating with, whatever kind of opportunity that you have. The thing that changed in our church 33 years ago was we went from an attending group with just a few leaders to a whole group of people every morning coming, preparing themselves to be used of God. Dramatically changed everything. And I'm just telling you, God has a high and holy and great calling for everyone here. And I trust that you'll be encouraged in this. And a lot of times we don't do it. I've quoted often Moody's statement, it's better to train 10 people than do the work of 10 people, but it's a lot harder. But we're committed to doing it. And we all need to be mentoring leaders. I think of the founder of Domino's Pizza that was so big back several decades ago, but he talked about the fact that it wasn't his special cheese or tasty crust or crust, or fast delivery, but he said it was the people that were trained to be the kind of leaders they should be, and that's exactly right, but far more. And God not only reached Antioch, but God reached that whole area, and God sent missionaries to reach the Western world, and here we are in 2025 because of what happened at Antioch. If the Lord tarries, and he may well, even all the things that we see, what will come 100 years from now because of your life? Because if you're being coordinated in the ministry, what regions will be reached because you reach somebody here? Elementary teacher, what child will open up a new unreached people group because you were faithful and had the power of God upon you? Folks, we've got to realize every person's important in everything that we do. And when we're going to be laying out a strategy that we've had, but really dealing with it in a very major way, I trust that you will just ask God to give you that vision. Now, let me talk about the pathway. I gave you the vision, and we'll be working on that. And so here are some things. If you'll turn over your page there, you will see our pathway. I will begin next week, and we're going to be preaching on really how small groups work. And I'm titling it Every Member Ministry. You see, there's not a person in this room that's not important. We got to get back to realizing every one of us is to make a great impact. And that's why it is incumbent upon us to so organize and then train and teach that each of us understand, each of us can see it, and each of us can get plugged in exactly where God wants us to be. So from May through June 20, we're going to be preaching, and I'm going to be preaching just like I did 33 years ago. And I am passionate about it far more than I was back then. Then on June the 22nd, a very strategic day, Advance Sunday. Advance Sunday is going to be a time in which we all look at what God would have us to do. And be praying. We're thankful to have Pastor Carlos Navarotti here with us as he has seen God mightily work through his small groups. And I think he'll be a great encouragement to us there on the 22nd of June. Then, through July, it's not marked on here, but through July, we will be putting the pieces together based on what God is doing. And we will be talking to all of our folks. And we will be then preparing for August. And so through the month of August, we are going to be having training sessions for every unit within our church small group, from children all the way up to adults. And the teams that are formed, all those who are part of the ministry, we will have some very strategic times so that we can be prepared. These will be precious times. They will be extremely important. It'll climax on August the 22nd and 23rd with a Friday night and Saturday vibrant advanced leadership training. And there we're going to put the pieces together. And I would encourage you, please mark that on your calendar. If you can keep that free, I do believe that that will be one of the most important times we've ever had. Then on the 24th, just following that, we're going to have a commissioning Sunday where we dedicate ourselves to the work that God has called us to do. And then 2 weeks later, after Labor Day Sunday, which is in the middle, the full all-out launch Sunday. I just talk about it, gets me excited. I just can't wait for you to get involved. And all of you that are involved, just a new involvement. And so we're excited about that. Well, what's our focus right now? First of all, a brand new thing. I very strongly mentioned about discipleship. Well, with the way our lives are today, we want to do everything we can to strengthen your ability to disciple once people get saved or new people come into our church. So we're opening up Wednesday nights during the service just for those who are officially discipling. And we'll be coordinating that. And Pastor Shaver, if you'll come, he's already done this in his ministry. And if you'll just say a word about that, please.
Starting May 14th, we're going to have our Wednesday Night Connections Discipleship Program. It will connect people to the Lord in the foundation of their first steps in their Christian life. And we're very excited about that. It will connect them to this church. Get them coming on Wednesday night as a matter of habit. That's difficult for a lot of people, but if we help them in their first steps and get them plugged into the Wednesday night and then get them connected to you. And what I mean by that is when we were in Kentucky, God just allowed us to see so much success through this ministry, and we had people who were connected with us. So they knew when they came to church, they had a friend. They had somebody they could turn to, somebody who could help them, and it's so important. So we are so excited about that. In Kentucky, we saw so much fruit from that. Ryan, a third-generation farmer, showed up at our church, and I started discipling him and his wife, and it was just amazing. We were about halfway through, and I told him, I said, you need to be doing this. And sure enough, Ryan, who was a farmer, said, well, you know, I meet with a Special Forces soldier for coffee. And he said, maybe I can start discipling him. And next thing you know, that SF guy showed up at the church. He got saved. He got baptized. And Ryan started discipling him every Monday morning at 5:30 in the morning. Just an amazing thing. It's not a surprise that Ryan's now a deacon at Greater Cumberland Baptist Church. John and Norma LaFoy, we met them out door knocking. I was knocking on their door. They had just gotten married. They looked like they were 12 years old. And a soldier, an EOD soldier. And John and Norma were discipled. John's now the youth director at that church in Kentucky. And just, I could go on and on and on and on. It helped so much in the spirit of the fruit that remains. So pray with us about that. And I hope you'll commit to be a part of that.
The fellowship hall will be open. Pastor Shaver will supervise that. We'll have our full service as normal. But we need to be praying in here for anyone who's being discipled. It'll only be the discipleship programs that we have. It's not a time to counsel folks. It's not a time to do anything else like that. It's just purely for discipleship. But I think it'll give you another night to be able to follow through. And folks, if we can take that seriously, I'd love to see a number of folks sitting in the fellowship hall. We'll be supervising it and guiding and helping, and we'll tell you more about that. But that starts on the 14th of May. And then I'm excited to announce just here at the beginning, before we go through all of the preparations, we're already breaking through with 6 new Bible studies. We'll start on May the 18th. Isn't that amazing? 6 brand new Bible studies. The leaders and all have been worked with, and we are thrilled about what God is doing, and it's partially preparation for what we're going to be doing in the months ahead. And then, in our where we presently are, we're desirous of taking our small group Bible studies and to awaken us to the matter of enrollment and how important it is to understand that and to reach our present enrollment and to recruit them and to work with them. I think through Easter, what was it, 14 were enrolled? Is that correct? 14 folks were enrolled just over last weekend. And remember, half of folks that are enrolled end up becoming part of Sunday school. Dr. Kojima is going to come and just give his burden for these next months. Right now, our focus is we want to win on this understanding of being aggressive in the matter of enrollment.
So as Pastor said, I have only one word, enrollment. So let me ask you this, what is enrollment? In your mind, what is enrollment? Okay. All right, anybody else? Signing up, yes. Well, for me, if you go to John chapter 1, verse 39, this famous word that Jesus used to invite disciples, he said, come and see. Come and see. That's enrollment. Giving everyone in your town, in your neighborhood, opportunity to meet Jesus. Come and see Jesus. Come and see my church, my Bible study, our Bible study, and come and meet Jesus. And that's the enrollment. It's opportunity. As your Bible study grows, your Bible study is not going to be just saved people. It's unsaved, saved, maybe not baptized, or baptized, all sorts of people who come to your group because through the enrollment. So I encourage you to just think about this word enrollment. And then let the people taste and see that the Lord is good. And I know all of you, if not everyone, somebody invited you, right? Somebody invited you to come to church or my Bible study. Except maybe babies and the children, and you were just told by the parents, and come or no food, you know. That's exception. But come and see. So the enrollment is our keyword. Next few months and beyond.
Dr. Kojo is Mr. Sunday School, and you are going to be hearing about enrollment. We got to get that in our minds. Honestly, it's the tool. What you do is sign someone up to be part of your Bible study, and it's not a commitment that they have to be there. It's not becoming a member of our church, but it's having the permission to be able to function in communicating with them, and what an opportunity. And it's something that we'll be talking about that is very, very important. So that's our focus right now as we're going to be opening up discipleship on Wednesday nights, six new Bible studies, and then having our present Bible studies working hard to reach their enrollment and to be thorough before we ever get to the month of September. Let me conclude with A.T. Pearson, who was mightily used of God to encourage churches to be Spirit-filled, Acts-level churches. In fact, he has one of the best devotional commentaries on the book of Acts. And he said, says to all of us, Church of Christ, the records of these acts of the Holy Spirit have never reached completion, speaking of the book of Acts. This is the one book which has no proper close because it waits for new chapters to be added so fast and so far as the people of God shall reinstate the blessed Spirit in his holy seat of control. He will occupy no disputed throne and exercise no divided sovereignty. My friends, if we will be Spirit-led people and understand what God has for us individually, and if we will be a Spirit-led church, small groups, individual ministry, it's explosive. I've seen it, I know it, I see it now. But we've only barely scratched the surface. Will you start praying about being part of the book of Acts in 2025? Let's bow for prayer.